Manu put a call out for other chair nominations. Manu, did you receive anything privately or whatever?
Nope, no new nominations.
Okay. So at this point, Kim and myself have volunteered to participate as chairs for this sort of renewed credentials community. I would say let's leave it open for, we'll be it for now, but if somebody else wants to volunteer, let us know. And I think you can have up to three in a community group, so we can move from there. So I guess first order of business is Scribe, going sort of down the list that we did before is...
I'm up next, Christopher. I'll do it. This is Manu.
Great. Thank you. So to introduce in the agenda items, just to sort of recap, your new chair. So my name is Christopher Allen, and I've been involved in the internet cryptography world for a long time. I'm the co-author of TLS. I've been involved with other, sort of early ad hoc and formal standards in the IETF. Been involved with the Verified Claim community for about 2 years now, and then officially for a little over a year as the AC rep for Blockstream, which is a blockchain, Bitcoin blockchain related company. I am also host of Rebooting Web of Trust, and have a long history of being involved in sort of identity issues of for human rights and privacy. Kim, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm Kimberly Duffy. I work at Learning Machine, and I'm the architect of Block Certs, which enables verifiable blockchain credentials. So my history with this group started from our collaboration with the Open Badges Initiative, and then I stumbled onto the Verifiable Claims Task Force. So we're very closely aligned with the initiatives of this group and find ourselves more and more turning into sort of a working prototype of a lot of these efforts. So we're working on evolving our schemas to use the verifiable claims model. I went to the last Rebooting Web of Trust. I was very excited to hear about the recipient-centric approaches to identity, and that's another area that we're very interested in expanding on.
Okay. So our sort of next agenda item is, are there any other new people to the community? It's not obvious. Manu, do you recognize, see anybody that is new?
Let me look. No, I think this is the group of folks that have been with us for a while. So no new members yet.
Okay. So basically, the at the highest level for this reboot of the credentials group is that we've had our eyes to the prize of getting a working group officially formed and getting our initial reports out. And the group started in, 2014, Manu, I believe? Based on prior work that emerged out of, web payments as well. So some people have been involved in this for a long time. So, we have to congratulate all the people who've led it from the very beginning to getting the initial reports out and getting the working group started. But now that the working group is established, we're in a position where we can rethink what it is that we are doing. So what I wanted to kind of start off with was just a quick recap of our mission statement. So it's at the community credentials. It's a rather long statement. Without necessarily reading the whole thing, I thought what I would do is there's one sentence in here that is the core to me that almost everything else is subsidiary to, which is the credentials community group is to discuss, research, document, prototype, and test credential storage and exchange systems for the web. So that was kind of like my, the most important part of this. But I wanted to at least spend a couple of minutes for people to take a look at that, and if there was some other aspect of this longer paragraph that we felt was very, very important or bothered somebody even. So especially, Nana, you have a lot more history. I presume you were intimately involved in creating this document. Maybe there's some history or otherwise you would like to just simply share about why it was that way.
Yep, sure, happy to. So that mission statement hasn't been updated in 2 years, and it was put together in a rush. So we should definitely update it, make it simpler and more concise. One thing about that mission statement that most of the folks in here probably don't know about is we wrote it understanding that there were multiple groups that were hostile to the work at the time. So for example, basically anyone that was working on, things like JOTS or OSE or SAML viewed the work as, or at least the discussions we had at the time was, you're reinventing the wheel, don't do it. So the part of the reason the community group was created was so that we could actually have the discussion around whether or not the state of the art was capable of meeting the use cases that we had. And what we've come to realize over time is that, there are some use cases that the group's very interested in that were not met by these other technologies. At the same time, we have found ways to kind of work with those other communities and pull in the things where it makes sense, but sometimes it takes, multiple years to figure out how to actually integrate the work in a way that's not disruptive to either group. So, all this to say that, I really do think that we need to update that mission statement to reflect what we want to accomplish over the next 2 years in the CG. I don't think the environment is as hostile as it used to be, so we could probably drop a number of those statements from the mission statement. And the other thing to note is more of a kind of a procedural thing. We can't change the mission statement without contacting W3C staff and them updating the database entry. So we should be absolutely sure about the text that we want. And only then approach the W3C systems team about it, because I would imagine they'd get cranky if we went back and forth on the mission statement. So all that to say, the best thing for a mission statement is to get a proposal on the table and then have people nitpick it. Ways that we've collaborated on this before is just by sharing a Google Doc and allowing everybody to make comments, and then the chairs kind of craft it into something that they believe captures the essence of what the group's going to do. So anyway, that's the background on the mission statement.
So, oops, sorry. I want to be careful that I'd love to have some more comments if necessary, but I want to be careful about specific proposals quite yet. We're going to do that in a future agenda item. So, Joe, you're on the queue.
Yeah, so I'll try and heed that about specific proposals. Reading this, the first thing that bumped up for me was that the credential didn't quite seem right, which may be problematic to try and recast. But one of the things I would like us to be very careful about is the credential is not a statement about a fact. It's an assertion by an authority. And I'd like to get that shift into that conversation.
Okay. Anybody else in the queue? Okay, so before we dive into a little bit broader discussion or maybe some specifics, I wanted to sort of jump over to something that happened that you know we need to consider or figure out. So about 6 months ago, for a variety of reasons that maybe Mana can share some history on, a number of the specs that the task force was working on and the group was working on got moved over to a new community, which some people may not be aware of here, which is the Digital Verification Community Group. What's important about this group was that these were really kind of the signature standards. For instance, let me quickly read the mission. Mission of the verification group is to study, design, promote, and deploy systems that increase trust on the web. These systems include, but are not limited to, signature systems, data normalization algorithms, and computational proof systems. There's a quite a decent sized community repo with LD signatures, which is relatively mature, some newer things like Merkle proofs and Koblitz and other stuff. I would presume things like proof of existence and things of that nature could potentially move here, et cetera. So the group was set up. I am the chair of that community, but at this point, that community I don't think has ever met, and the mailing list is not active. So I'm kind of considering our role in this community can include kind of, do we want to still use that? Does it make, do we want to merge them back? Is there a separate role for it, et cetera? So I just simply wanted to review that was there. Again, I want to kind of hold off on specific proposals, but I just want to make sure everybody was aware that currently there are two communities. So that takes us to our next agenda. We're on schedule. What we'd like to do is within the next few weeks decide on the community group's priorities and agenda. So this includes things like, should we merge these two CGs? Do we revise either CG's mission statements? There's an opportunity to rename, but there's a cost for that. What time frame do we want to accomplish this in? And then obviously the concrete deliverables. So this is sort of an open discussion. From my vantage point, there's a lot of reports and other things that I would like to start getting started on, but I think we really do have to, make some progress on, the mission statements and such. So put your name in the queue if you'd like to talk about things, and then maybe, Mana, you can talk a little bit about what you called the pipeline, and maybe your thoughts on the signature community. How do I check the queue? What's the command again? Queue question. Okay. Okay. Okay, Kim, go ahead.
Yeah, so with regard to signatures, a couple of the near time frame items that I had a goal to work on with this group is basically closing out some things around the signature suites, like the RSA signature suite, the Merkle signature suite. So those are sort of kind of, I would say, more follow-your-nose items, like they just need to be finished. But it would be nice to have an active group, to collaborate on with those efforts. I don't know if this is the right place for that. I'm curious what other people think, but we don't have to solve that now.
Okay.
Actually, do I need to yield the floor? Do I do, like, Q minus or?
Nope. You just stop talking, okay. And then other people start.
Okay.
then the chair says who gets to speak next, and you know, just it doesn't have to work that way, but that seems to work.
Okay, so looks like I'm next in the speaker queue. So, you know, I'm fine for the groups potentially to be merged back together. There is one main benefit of kind of keeping it as is, which is that we can kind of think of this other group as being a more cryptographic and security group, like in the way IETF has sort of the CFRG that more, you know, sort of reviews things at a high level, and then other groups use that. I have a couple of cryptographers that I would like, I've been really hoping to entice into reviewing these specs. It's been a challenge to get those reviews, and one of the ways to get that is to be able to offer somebody something they can put on their CV that they were a co-chair of a community doing that type of stuff. So, but I'm kind of open either way. I think there's a lot, even though I think Ken is correct that there are a lot of things right now in that area that we want to move into kind of official report status or take to the next level. I do believe that there are things that are outside the sort of the data scope that the community group for credentials as a whole can also do. So that's it for mine. Next is David.
Nathan, actually.
Nathan.
Oh, I was just going to add a plus one to the idea of merging the groups. I know that there's been some interest at Hyperledger and a few of the other communities that I work with in terms of verifiable claims in order to project or sign things so that people outside their ledgers could be able to see or verify the information that's been come to consensus within those worlds. And I think that being able to talk about the different signature schemes that are used in those contexts and be able to make sure that we've thought about some of the use cases and protocols that are involved in that would be very useful to do here. If we want to continue them as separate groups, it just we'll have to split our participation across both of those forums, whereas I think consolidating those will help us, especially as we start to deal with real-world implementations and the protocol details that are involved in that in terms of rolling out some of the ideas that are being worked on in the working group. So I would really like to combine the two.
Okay. Next is David.
David, if you're speaking, we can't hear you. You might be muted.
Yeah, what's the life cycle of using verified claims, inspectors telling users which VCs to send, et cetera? So this sort of comes to sort of the larger question. Manu, basically at the previous sort of credential call, was talking about, you know, the things that the verified claims working group was not really chartered to do. And he spoke a little bit about the pipeline, that there were some advantages now where, you know, we can do some experiments and trying some different things and incubating stuff very early at meetings like Rebooting WeatherTrust, not exclusively, that then feed into the community group to kind of more formalize and use its own bully pulpit and the ability to sort of issue reports and requirements and things of that nature that can then potentially either be fed into verifiable claims or even potentially a task force to form another working group if that was the right way to do it. Manny, you want to say a little bit more about about the pipeline or
yep.
how you sort of see things.
Yep. Quickly before talking about the whole pipeline, there we want to be a bit careful about merging the digital verification CG with the verifiable claims CG, or whatever we end up calling the CG. Primarily from kind of a messaging kind of layer. So when the W3C membership, I mean, there are 420 to 50 members at any given time. Only about 5% pay any attention to what's going on in the community group space. So that when you come to them with a proposal, if you have something that's very clear, like, we have a new signature format under consideration and the digital verification community group has been working on it for a while, that's a better message than, you know, it coming from a different group that none of them know about, right? So we have to think about branding. I know that's kind of a, you know, terrible thing to think about at this point, but we have to think about a name that any kind of signature format coming out of that group would kind of put the W3C membership's mind at ease that it's coming from a good community group, right? So if we had signature formats coming out of, for example, a blockchain community group, I could imagine a lot of raised eyebrows and people wondering why we were doing, you know, why it was coming from that group. And it would take a while to educate everyone. So the reason that we split the signature formats out is we had it in the payments group and we had that eyebrow raise, and then we had it in the verifiable claims group and we still had the eyebrow raise. And now that we've moved it to the digital verification community group, people don't seem to be that concerned that the work's going, and they just kind of expect that that's the place it should be going on. Now, that's very much divorced. So the way that we're presenting this information to the membership is very divorced from the way that we actually work on it. So there's nothing that would keep, you know, this community group and the other community group from holding joint meetings where if we think that the thing that we should really be working on is a signature format in this group, and we're saying we're working on it jointly with the digital verification group, that I think would be a more beneficial thing, kind of looking down the road than just combining the work. So that's one way of doing it. The other way of doing it might be to effectively say, let's say this becomes a verifiable claims community group and the verifiable claims working group ends up getting a fairly good reputation at W3C. Then coming to W3C and saying, hey, we have signature formats coming out of the verifiable claims community group. They've looked into this and they need it for the next generation verifiable claims work. That's another line of argumentation that we could use. So we either reuse the verifiable claims brand if it's good in a year to 2 years, or we continue to use digital verification community group and make that kind of a nexus of where the crypto folks do review on signature formats, application layer signature formats. So anyway, just two ideas on, you know, ways that we could do it, but I'm a bit hesitant to recombine the groups because we just spent some effort splitting them apart. So that's the signature format stuff. The pipeline. So one of the things that we've worked really hard to do over the last, you know, as Christopher said, you know, even before the credential CG was formed, it was in the web payment CG. So 4 years we've been trying to create a good pipeline for this verifiable claims work. We finally have the pipeline set up. So the pipeline is effectively, we incubate super experimental stuff at places like Internet Identity Workshop and Rebooting Web of Trust and basically anywhere that'll have us. Those end up being formed into kind of W3C-like spec. We then take that spec and put it into a community group for incubation. And then once we have it incubated, we hand it off to a working group. So we have this pipeline set up for verifiable claims, not only the data format and the syntax, but potentially future protocols, like if we need to move verifiable claims over a browser environment or over an NFC environment, whether or not we need to work on next gen, how do you use this stuff with blockchains? Like, all these questions are things that we can kind of shove into the pipeline. And the important point here is that we have to kind of keep the pipeline alive. If one of those sections of the pipeline, there are really three sections of the pipeline. There's the super experimental stuff, the stuff that we're prepping to go into a working group, and then the stuff that goes into a working group. If any of those three stages stalls or shuts down, it kind of messes up the pipeline. It means that we have to go through a lot of effort to get that section of the pipeline up and running again. So that's just something to keep in mind. We want to make sure that we have all sections of the pipeline fed at all times, and that we have a fairly good idea of what the roadmap is. And so that might be, that might be a hint that, one of the things after we get our mission statement done should be a roadmap and priorities. So everyone knows, these are the things that we're focusing on, and this is where this technology is in the pipeline. That will also help us go to places like W3C TPAC and do presentations to the membership, so they have a heads up on what's coming down the pipeline in, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. So again, this is just a proposal on how we work. It seems to have paid off for us at present, and the hope is that we can continue to kind of get it kind of working for us over the next 2+ years. Christopher, does that cover what you wanted me to cover?
Yeah,
on the pipeline?
Very much. I'll add maybe a little sort of my own personal details on it. So you talked about the pipeline as having three phases. But there's an important fourth phase that we've not been doing a good job with, which is sort of the security review, the cryptographic review, things of that nature. We've been, we talked about them, but we haven't had that kind of formal, aspect of this. So as I kind of see it, I see that the credentials group, the parent group of this, series of things, should be doing things like we should be talking about privacy. We should be, incorporating some of Joe's ideas at a high level of, our terminology. What do we mean when we talk about credentials? And what are the privacy requirements, the other requirements for that? It's the place for use cases that maybe don't fall into the charter of verifiable claims, like the Joram use case or human rights or Web of Trust, et cetera. But then when we actually get down to the niggling details, we use the digital verification sort of sub-community in a sense, to dive into that, which may not be used. Some of these standards may not be used only by verifiable claims. I could easily see some of these potentially being used by other working groups to sign other kinds of JSON messages, that are JSON LD messages that are not technically a verifiable claim. And we want, I think that's good for all of us if we have, if we can support that. I may be wrong, but at least it allows us to, as I see it, I'd love to see, maybe two active work items, implementations and, implementation and finalizing a spec of, two at a time of this list of things in the digital verification group. As sort of separate from, kind of this higher level of issuing requirements and reports and incubating things like PIDs and other stuff. But, I also am kind of open to it, and I recognize the conflict. And I know, Kim, maybe you want to get in the queue in the sense that I think in some ways, it's clear, you're in the bits level right now, and maybe you should be the chair of that group, along with, let me find a cryptographer who will join in, and then we do the credentials group differently. I'm open. Where are we in queue? Okay, David, you're next. So David doesn't have a call, so he was saying at EIC last week that it was considering the IETF token binding spec could be used to privacy protect VCs and allow them to be transferred from issuer to inspector without the issuer knowing who the inspector is. So this is another example of a more detailed BIT style spec that could easily be a work item of either group. I think that that's an interesting possibility. Kim?
Yeah, this is following up on the point about separating versus not. So I think I'm really fine either way. I think the only thing that I would be worried about is if, say, there are a large number of people in this group that care about the signature aspects and would feel split about it. So I care deeply about both sides of it. So I'm happy to, and I also get the importance of, having cryptographers involved, and, it would be nice to have that additional level of rigor. I'm very flexible. I think I'm mostly curious to find out more, which we may not solve today, but just what the general group, which sort of topics people are interested in. And I'm fine letting that help decide where we go with it.
I want to pull myself off. Manu, go ahead.
Yeah, so, I think we should gather a list of things that we could work on and see where the most amount of interest is, with a specific focus on people that are going to not only work on the spec, but implement. So I think, one of the things that really gets the work moving is, interoperable implementations before a working group starts. I agree with Kim. I mean, it really feels like the signature stuff is the next obvious thing that we should polish up and get finished. There are other specs out there, like the DID specs and the decentralized identifier specs, which have a lot of interest, implementer interest in a couple of companies that join this group regularly. We have other stuff like the browser API specs that we really need a long lead time on to pass by Mozilla and Google and, see if those companies are interested in implementing it in the browser. We've had a lot of people list off a number of specs that, or technologies that they're interested in working on. But we do also have people that tend to be a bit shy on the calls and don't say much. We also have people that are on the mailing list that, are in Australia or Europe and can't join the calls, or Hong Kong and can't join the calls. So, putting out a poll that just lists, like, here are the things that we could potentially work on. Why don't you rank them? What do you want to work on the most? What do you want to work on the least? And then after we get that data back, that basically tells us what the group should be doing, right?
Yep. So I'll close this agenda item with, we kind of have a review of some possibilities for how the different groups could be organized. I might add that, for instance, having two mailing lists or even three mailing lists, say one for DIDs as yet another community or sub-community of credentials, could be a useful way of doing things, because some people may want to be just focused on how in hell do we sign a JSON-LV object. And I'm less concerned about things like the use cases or the privacy requirements or whatever of the big grouping group, or I'm not interested in DIDs. So, you know, this could be a good model, but I think we're going to have to experiment to see. And if it becomes painful, then we, just become a single community. So let's close on this agenda item and go to the last agenda
Real
item.
Real quick, Christopher, I put myself
sure.
on the queue. Just to push back a bit on splitting too early, it's always obvious when you've got too much going on in a group and, part of the group wants you to go split off into another group and do that stuff elsewhere. But it's very hard to start in three separate groups and get the momentum that you need on any single item. So I'd suggest let's not do multiple mailing lists. Let's not do multiple telecons. Let's just rate a bunch of stuff in this group and then focus on it. And then we will hear very loudly from people that are like, I don't want to spend 30 minutes on this call talking about signature formats. Can't you go off and do that elsewhere. So the other thing is, we're all very busy and having multiple calls and multiple mailing lists to track on top of all the other stuff we're already tracking is difficult. So, I'd suggest let's just focus on this call and this group for now and split off when it becomes obvious that we need to do that.
Yep. And I'll certainly take it as, my charge and Kimberly's charge to keep an eye on things and monitor when, and basically ask periodically, okay, we seem to be talking about these two broadly different things. Do people desire to have that as a separate conversation? And if there's critical mass, we can talk about it at that point. But I agree with you, one joint call, one joint mailing list for now, and only, split when we have to. I believe, Bern, you have a cue. Huh?
Nope.
Oh, it's empty. Sorry.
I was checking it, not adding.
Oh, sorry. Okay, so we're going to close that agenda item. So for the next part of and for the remaining time that we have, when we're precisely on schedule, I really wanted to kind of begin to get a list of possible work items without necessarily having people argue whether or not we should do them or not at this point. So I'd like to first start with things that people are personally committed to and say a little bit about, what it is you think the item is and, what is the your personal commitment or why you're committed to it. And then we can maybe go into things like, the wannabes, I'd love to have this, but I don't know if I can do that. I will start off with just, the first work item is we've got to finish our actual credentials mission and all of that. And I will take a lead on getting consensus on a new mission statement and then passing it through W3C to get it officially changed. So that's my personal action item. Let's begin to look through the queue and see what about various other commitments. So David, go ahead.
Right. I would be personally interested in working on both implementation and spec for credentials polyfill for making it possible for people to share credentials with websites. So this is effectively the main piece that's missing if we want people to be able to easily share their credentials on the web. And so we need a spec for it. There's some history there. We built a polyfill for this, some number of years ago, and over time, the polyfill API has changed to kind of work in tandem with a spec called the Credential Management API that Google is working on. And our spec is sort of an extension to that spec. We need to figure out if we want to continue down that path as an extension to that spec, or maybe move it off and just do our own. Maybe be an extension to some other kind of web sharing spec. So there's a lot of different discussion that can happen there in terms of what the spec's going to be, and then there needs to be actual implementation work on that polyfill. And I think that's a really important part of the ecosystem that has to get done.
Okay. Joe, you're next on the queue.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes.
No. Oh, okay, good. So I just wanted to, I would like to put some effort into understanding the larger use case. The tool I like to use that is the engagement model I wrote up for UARM 1.0.0. So I'd like to pick a use case and walk through, you know, what's the life cycle of a verifiable claim look like? Because I think that has a lot of resonance both in areas that we can't yet talk about in verifiable claims and for some of the use cases in verifiable claims. So that's all.
Okay. Next is David. No, wait, sorry. Manu, sorry.
Right, so I wanted to, second Dave Longley's browser API spec thing. This speaks a bit to what David Chadwick mentioned earlier in the call, which is, the question of how do we get these things around? How do we store a verifiable claim in a piece of software? How does someone ask for a verifiable claim, and how do we get it from point A to point B in an open, interoperable way? Plus one to that, it's critical for the ecosystem to operate. I'm a bit concerned that we're skipping a step in immediately working on that. We need to do an analysis to make sure that you can't accomplish this stuff with SAML and Jose, but we've never actually written that up. So we need to document that so, we don't get more political pushback of, hey, you're just reinventing the wheel again. So that might be a part of that work. That's also something that the Verifiable Claims Working Group is supposed to create. It's a part of their charter. But there's no reason that the community group can't help them create that. The other thing that I wanted to mention is the decentralized identifier spec. As those have been involved in this group have seen over time, we this stuff started as the Mozilla persona, an attempt to do Mozilla persona correctly, and then we did the whole web DHT and had decentralized identifiers there, and then the Evernym folks picked it up and did a great job filling out that spec, and we participated in that quite a bit. And so I think that spec is at a point where it's mature enough to kind of turn it into a W3C formatted spec, get two interoperable implementations on that spec, and kind of queue that up as the next thing to push into the pipeline at W3C. And that's going to be a fairly heavy lift, I think, partially because we're going to have to do some education at W3C and IETF around why the world even needs decentralized identifiers, right? So, I'd rather get started on that work now, understanding that it's going to take a while for people to get it. And the other thing that helps, of course, is having a spec and having interoperable implementations so people can get it. So those are the two specs that I'd like to see us kind of push forward. I also agree with Kim that, like, the signature stuff is super important. We've gotten a bit tired of slamming our heads against the, why didn't you consult me, or the why aren't you working with quote-unquote real cryptographers folks on it. It absolutely needs to be done, but as, commercial companies, we can't wait, two or three or 5 years for the quote-unquote right people to take a look at That stuff. So the signature formats, I think, is something that just is going to happen because, as Kim mentioned, like
yep.
we've got multiple companies that need it, but it would be good to have that security review. And to be clear, it's in that order. So I think the signature stuff is number one priority, but it's going to happen, right, because we need it. None of this stuff works without it. The browser API spec is next, and then DIDs come after that. At least as far as my personal preference is concerned. That's it. Thanks.
Okay, so I'm next in queue. I'm the kind of the architect for the DID architecture as it stands in the trust anchor form. So clearly, I'm committed to continuing to work with the community, try to drive that forward. But I would also say that there's some things, at a higher level we need to talk about. I mean, there was the original DPKI, the decentralized public key infrastructure document from, a year and a half ago. And we kind of need to revisit that, given now that we've done DIDs and some of these other things, and basically say, this is why we are doing DID. This is why here are the requirements, here are the things that there is no better way that we know of to do, and that's something that the community is well set to define. And then, we can, dive into the specifics of the formats and protocols of DIDs. But I think we do have a persuasion job to accomplish, and at this point, self-sovereign identity, the decentralized PKIs, et cetera, are, we're not necessarily doing a fabulous job explaining to the uninitiated what that is and why that's important. We know why, and we're working on it, but I don't think that, we're quite at the persuasive stage. So that's one thing I'd like to see the credentials groups to do. Second thing is I have a particular we have some particular problems in the area of data minimization and selective disclosure. So, at one level, I'd like to see a report from the credential community that sort of defines, what exactly is selective disclosure, the different forms of it, and data minimization. Because right now, when I, as a cryptographer hat, say selective disclosure, it means a very specific thing, whereas other people will often interpret it as something that I would call data minimization. So I'd like to get that more firmly down. And then from that, there's things like the Merkle proof signature, which, I might argue is in some ways more important than some of the other signature formats because it does inherently allow for data minimization, which I think is maybe a fundamental requirement. But we don't know that, and the community hasn't necessarily accepted that because we haven't defined what our privacy and selective disclosure requirements are. So I see that as another kind of fundamental work item for the community, both at the requirements level, but also down at the spec level. So that's it for my queue item. Where are we next? David. So David's saying that he's more or less in agree with the priority order. There's also the W3 WebAuth spec. Also, like Manu's comment, we only need another 12 hours a day to work on these. So we are going to have to prioritize and focus and such. And I know, for instance, there's some discussion about a DID off-like spec as well. So there's, interesting advantages and conflicts with the W3C possibility. So we've been hearing from kind of the regular like folk at this point, people who are pretty vocal and have been vocal in the past. I would really like to maybe hear from some of the other players. You know, what, you know, you're spending an hour here. Maybe you also spent an hour at the previous meeting. What are your areas where either you really want to, you're up for committing to something, or something that you desperately need, and that's why you spent 2 hours today working with this on this, because you really need something. So let's see if we can get people into the queue. So Kim, go ahead.
Actually, so I was going to ask a similar question. There was a lot of traction around decentralized IDs at the last rebooting Web of Trust, auth methods, names, et cetera. I was curious to hear from anyone that may be in this group if they have any areas of focus there. If not, we can follow up on the mailing list. And yeah, I think we all know that I will be wanting to work on the signature suite stuff. So yeah. That's all.
Well, one of the things, I mean, if the credentials group feels like DIDs is something that we want to at least attack the requirements and consider taking in the specs, you know, we have, you know, 100 some odd people that have a trust community that are not active in the credentials community that we can try to broaden the community to get them in. So. Okay, so the speaker queue is empty. Manny, you said, you know, there. How would you suggest we kind of move this list? I mean, just the list, the pre-voting version of this list. I feel like we're hearing mostly from this really core people, but you know, we're not going to be successful if we can't get other people to participate. So, what are we missing, and how are we missing it?
What we might be able to do is just put the list in a Google Doc, put it out to the mailing list, and say, hey, if you have any other items on things that you'd like to work on, or you think are important, please list them. And then once we have that list, let's say in a week, we give people a week to weigh in. Once we have that list, we will just create a poll that allows people to assign priorities, like, you know, 0 through 10. And the items that get the, you know, the most number of votes, maybe we'll, you know, tell people they get 5 tokens or whatever. The ones that get the most number of votes are the ones that we end up working on. Does that seem...
Okay. Yeah, that seems reasonable. Is there somebody who'd be willing to I mean, obviously the chairs can coordinate this, but is there someone who might be willing to sort of bootstrap this list and send it out to the mailing group? Somebody willing to tackle that?
I can do it because I think I understand all the items that people listed, so I'm happy to do that.
So that'll be an action item. How do we add that to this tool?
List. Just do. I'll do it.
Create
list of work items for a group. Create preliminary list of work items for group and send out to mailing list. There you go.
Yeah.
You just do action colon.
Got it. Thing. To address David's comment in the chat, I think that we, you know, a voting, kind of like what we did at the second rebooting Web of Trust, where we basically said, you know, you got a token for things that you were committed to work on as opposed to a token of things that you would like to see, was very helpful because there were a number of things where everybody wanted to see it, but nobody was willing to work on it. So we need to identify... those, or you know, people weren't willing to say that was the main thing they wanted. So there's some voting things we can do along those lines as we get to things. I think the only thing, we'll do for my action, first draft of new credentials mission. So I'll take as my action item to do that first draft. Please, if you've got any ideas, in particular the wordsmiths among you or people like Joe who really care about the terminology, about the things that we must keep in the credentials side of the mission, or where there are areas of sensitivity, and I'll get that started. So we're at 9:58, which is roughly where we called on that. So
so Nathan's on the queue.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, okay, just dropped.
Okay, well, thank you. So our agenda will be meeting at the same time next week. Our agenda items will start off with our sort of progress on our actions items, and then we can, you know, continue to dive into, you know, the potential projects here. I think that I'm kind of reluctant to recruit a cryptographer to do the signatures group quite yet until we have a, you know, we really know that that's the way we're going to be running things. So I'd also like to see as a potential action item that we, you know, make a decision about, you know, keeping that separate as a repo and working together on it, or what our requirements are there. Are there any other action items for next week that we need to put in the agenda? I don't see any people adding to the queue, so please let Kim and I know if you have an additional agenda item that you'd like for next week's meeting. And I think that is it.
Great. Thanks all. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.